Oh, baby, how you lying?
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning. What a great show today. Dr. Alexander Jimenez, Director of Orchestral Studies, School of Music, Florida State, will be with us. Leon County Executive Director Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte celebrating their 55th anniversary. We've got freelance chef Megan Cutlip cooking with wine and Simon Anderson with Future Now. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. Their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Well, you know what, folks? If it gets any colder, I'm moving to Florida. Can you believe this? In February, I have a French pear tree in my yard that is in full bloom. And I am telling you, we ain't getting no pears off of that guy this year because that was very poor timing. But we'll say that it is what it is. North Florida is just that way. And you see, folks, this is why for many years I've been talking about this, and some of you are starting to listen to me. Our biggest threat is not a hurricane. Okay? I mean, I was here back in the mid-80s. Hurricane Kate came storming through. Yeah, that was a pretty serious situation. But since then, we've had severe freezing temperatures and flooding and lightning and high winds. Yes, high winds, but like tornadoes and thunderstorms that will do you in before a hurricane will. So I don't know. We seem to have this thing about hurricanes. Of course, it's a big show. But in terms of being prepared, we really need to think about severe weather throughout the year. So that is why we have a program, a publication, a website that is intended to keep you and I prepared for such severe weather right here in Tallahassee. We call it Prepared. And you can go to the website, preparedtallahassee.com. And we are in the making of our magazine that will be published this next couple of months. Have some wonderful sponsors who've joined us in this effort so that you and I will have the information in front of us to stay prepared throughout the year. How cool is that, huh? That's what we like to do. We like to do cool things, and we've got cool people involved in all of this activity, including, I should mention, another great project, our Tallahassee Food Challenge. Do you know about this? The Tallahassee Food Challenge is there to help you and I remember that we need to give generously to those food charities, food assistance charities, that make it possible for a lot of people to keep going and feed hungry children and families who, for whatever reasons, are finding themselves on the bad side of that whole situation, especially during the spring time of the year through these next few months, March, April, May, and into June, when, yes, these food assistance charities find themselves struggling to supply the demand for the reasons that we've talked about before on this show. We get we forget. I mean, we've come through the holidays or Christmas time and such. We've given, and maybe we become less focused on the need. And so we're making vacation plans, or we're thinking about spring break or whatever we're doing that tends to pull us away from those kinds of issues. And with those school children not in school, they're not getting the meals they would normally, let's say for lunch or breakfast. And so the demand is actually up in relation to how these food assistance charities supply that ongoing need. Well, so if we're going to give, this is really the time of year when the need is even more critical. And Tallahassee Food Challenge is about that business of encouraging us to do so, making it easier for us to find those locations around the Tallahassee area where you can give. And we're going to do this. We are in preparation with a local moving company that is going to provide us their vehicle. And we will have that truck out at various grocery stores and other locations around the community throughout these coming months. You'll be able to go to the website, find the location nearest you where you might be doing some grocery shopping, right? So then it's real simple. Our message is take the challenge and fill the truck. And our job for that given day on that given weekend will be to fill up this truck, and then we're going to deliver all of those food items to the charities that rely on us to make it happen. How about that? So take the challenge, fill the truck. That's what we're saying. You can be watching for more of that. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is our primary means of communicating that to you. But we're also going to do some other advertising and various media around the community. But you can tell your friends and neighbors, hey, this is a cool thing, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. We're going to do some more work on the website to update that for you and give you even more detail. You certainly can communicate with us as to your interests. And a good website that you can rely on is this TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. And a good email address would be topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. And so you can use that email address to come back to us, or you can make comments on our Facebook page. You know, we're here. We're ready. We want to know what you think. And that's a good way to communicate with us, whatever is convenient for you. But topics@TallahasseeTalks.com is a great email address for you to remember, especially if you have a topic or a guest that you'd like to share with us. So you can ask questions about our food challenge promotion or about Prepared, about the show. You can suggest a topic or a guest. Great place to go for that sort of thing. Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. And don't forget that our website is a great place to pick up on shows that you may have missed, because we archive all of the shows. And by the way, happy birthday. Tallahassee Talks is now celebrating the beginning of its fifth season. So does that mean we're 5 years old? I guess so. Are we 4 years old? Carl, what's the answer there? Are we five or are we four? I think we're 5 years old. Well, anyway, happy birthday to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I feel a lot older than five, but hey. And another birthday that we're celebrating today happens to be the Leon County Humane Society. And we've got Sabrina Rodriguez DeConte, who's going to be with us. She's the executive director for Leon County Humane Society, and they're going to kick it off here in about, I think they start at 11 o'clock. Anyway, she's going to be here to tell us about today's festivities over there. And you can stop in and maybe have a piece of cake with them and, write them a check, make a donation, or just check it out. Find out what they're doing to make it better for all of our loved, beloved critters, especially our own pets and animals in our area, in this town, in this region, who sometimes find themselves on the short end of things. They're abandoned or being neglected. And here we have the Humane Society stepping in to try to help and right that situation. Sabrina will bring us up to date on all of that activity. We have as well, of course, standing by, we have Simon Anderson. He's got another edition of Future Now. We enjoy Simon for his prognostication, his view of the future from the standpoint that has to do with how technologies are influencing our daily lives. And in that regard, we have that much more to learn as he brings us that report. So stand by for that. And we have the very lovely Megan Cutlip, who's going to be talking with us. She is a freelance chef and will be bringing us up to date on her efforts as a chef and as an educator, doing something called Cooking with Wine. And that's coming up, I think, next Saturday. So we'll learn all about that, along with our very special guest, Dr. Alexander Jimenez. We're going to learn about the work that he is doing there with the Tallahassee Youth Orchestras and all that he is doing around town. He is the Director of Orchestral Studies there at Florida State School of Music. So stay with me, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
This is the Future Now with futurist Simon Anderson. Today on Future Now, it's part two of the top trends to watch in 2015. Now, if you weren't with us last time, we talked about wearable technology, entertainment trends, 3D printing, payments, and healthcare trends. But today I'll be talking about my top five global trends for 2015, which are energy, security, AI, automation, and transportation. Well, let's get started with energy. Now, if you've been watching the news at all lately, you've seen there's been a huge drop in oil prices in the last 6 months, especially like in the last month or so. And I think oil prices are down or 50% in the last 6 months. But oil prices have gone up and down for a long time. I know this last one is a pretty bad drop, but I think the bigger story is what's happening with renewable energy sources like solar and wind. Now, lately we've had this solar boom with tons of new solar panels and new solar technology coming online just the last few years because of exponential advancements in technology. And I just read that the Topaz Solar Farm in California just came online at the end of last year. That's actually the largest solar farm in the world right now. It has 9 million panels, which is enough to power 160,000 houses. So it's a huge project. But it's just one of many, many projects going on around the world right now, these gigantic solar projects. I think it won't be the largest for very long. But it's really not just the big projects that are happening in solar. If you look around and up at the rooftops, you can see a lot more people are putting solar panels on their houses because the prices have come down so much and there's new financing models and new things happening there. But I think the big, huge shift happens not with just the drop in solar panel prices, but also with energy storage technology where you can put a battery in your garage or something and just completely disconnect from the grid and not pay an electricity bill. And there's all kinds of new storage technology happening now, from flywheels to nano batteries to liquid batteries, just lots of new technology there. So I think we're at the beginning of a really huge shift in energy. What about our second trend here, security and hacking? Now, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like every major company lately is getting hacked. We had Target have a major hack, Home Depot, Staples, and then over Christmas, the Christmas holiday, Xbox and PlayStation both got hacked and they were down for like 3 days and made a bunch of people mad because they had their new PlayStations that they couldn't play. And you hear of banks getting hacked, and it's really incredible how many hacking scenarios are happening that people were not expecting. And I think it's going to get a lot worse this year. Criminals keep getting better and better technology, and a lot of times people are still using bad passwords. I just saw the top 25 passwords of 2014. And they're pretty terrible. So if you have any passwords like 123456 or password for your password, it's probably time to change that because the hackers are onto you. So I think we're going to see a lot more hacking in 2015. Now my third trend, artificial intelligence or AI, this can be a little disturbing to people because they think of movies like The Terminator and people coming to robots coming to kill you and things like that. And there are certainly some very smart people in the world who are very worried about artificial intelligence and what's happening there. Stephen Hawking issued a statement saying he's very concerned with the direction we're taking with artificial intelligence. And Elon Musk, who's probably one of the smartest and most visionary people alive today, actually invested in a bunch of artificial intelligence companies just to kind of keep an eye on what's going on. And he even invested $10 million to help us keep artificial intelligence in the right path and make sure it doesn't get out of hand. Now, some major things have happened in artificial intelligence. In just the last few months, we've had huge breakthroughs in image recognition and voice and object recognition software and new neuromorphic chips, which are kind of modeled after the brain. I just saw that a roundworm's brain was uploaded to a Lego robot. So the Lego robot, it's a little vehicle that drives around. It actually is operating with the brain of a roundworm. So it responds the same to the same stimuli to touch and light and things like that. So it's kind of freaky that they put a roundworm brain in a robot, and that's just the beginning. So I think we'll continue to see more breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, and it's certainly something to keep an eye on, especially when you have some of the world's smartest people who are getting very concerned about it. Now, just to be clear, I don't think we're going to have robots marching down the street in the next couple of years, or even this year, certainly, trying to kill everyone. But things can happen when you have, when you think about all of our traffic lights, our food distribution, our water. So many things are controlled by automation that if it gets out of hand, somehow it could be potentially very dangerous, which leads to my fourth trend, which is automation. Now, when you think about automation, typically you think about giant old factory robots, which are used to build cars. Like you look at a 1970s car factory and they have these big arms that are bolting cars together. And if you get in their way, they'll chop your head off because they just have no recognition of what's going on around them. But that's really changing. And a good example is Baxter, which is a robot that can work around people. And it doesn't require an engineer to learn how to do things. You can just show Baxter how to do things. So if you want him to do a new job, you can just move his arms and show him what to do, and he'll know from then on. He also knows when there's people around, so he won't, you know, take your head off like an old factory robot would. And he just had a software upgrade, so he actually doubled his ability. So he's twice as fast now just from a software upgrade. But the biggest thing is that Baxter is only $25,000. So that means that Baxter can replace workers pretty easily when you think about it, because $25,000 doesn't go very far when you consider healthcare and smoke breaks and lunch breaks and time off and all these other expenses that employees have. Plus, he can work 24 hours a day. And the company that made Baxter, Rethink Robotics, just got a $26 million investment to make even more advancements with him. So I think we'll see a lot more factory robots around now. And there's also a thing called the Robot Operating System, or ROS, and there's developers around the world who are working on this, and it's basically an internet for robots. And so, theoretically, once one robot learns something, if it's on the same internet of robots, another robot will know automatically. So if you have one Baxter in your factory, and you show them how to do things, theoretically, you could upload that to the robot operating system or the robot internet, and then all of your robots could know how to do that activity. Or if anyone else anywhere else trained a robot, they could learn that as well. So robots will be a big thing. And of course, we hear a lot about drones and Amazon thinking about delivering things with drones. I don't think drone delivery is going to be very big in the next year, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. But I think the larger shift is what's happening with software automation, not just with like robots. Now, I'm sure if I were to ask how many people are planning on using tax software in a room full of 100 people, I bet 70% of people would say they're using tax software instead of going to an accountant. So that's actually a pretty huge shift with software, because if you have software that can start doing things that people once did, it has a lot bigger opportunity to displace a lot of workers than just, you know, a Baxter that replaces one person or two people in a factory. If you have software that can replace 10,000 people or something, it starts to be a much bigger shift. And that's going to start having a really big effect on jobs and employment as more and more things get automated. And of course, as technology continues to advance exponentially and automation things just keep getting, robots or softwares keep getting faster, cheaper, and smarter, that trend's just going to accelerate. Now, for the last trend today, I'll talk about transportation. And I think there are two big things happening to watch in transportation this year. And that's the shift to non-gasoline powered cars and self-driving cars. So you've probably heard about Tesla, and they have this amazing luxury vehicle. It's like $90,000 or $100,000 for a Tesla. It can go like 300 miles on a charge. It's an all electric vehicle. It's super futuristic looking, really, really fast. But a lot of people aren't going to be able to go drop $90,000 on an electric car. But Chevy just announced that for the 2017 model year, they're going to be releasing the new Chevy Bolt, not the Volt like they've had before, but Bolt with a B. And that's an all-electric vehicle that'll go about 200 miles in a single charge. But the big thing is it's only $30,000. So that makes it accessible to a lot more people. And plus, when you have Tesla and other companies that are building all these charging systems around the country and around the world, it makes it more accessible for a lot of people that start buying electric cars. And it's not just electric cars. There's also going to be hydrogen and fuel cell cars. Toyota just announced their Mirai for the 2016 model year. And that actually just runs on hydrogen. So they're convinced that hydrogen is the way to go for powering cars in the future. The cool thing with hydrogen and fuel cells is that the only exhaust is pure water. If you drive a mile, you get maybe like a half a cup of pure water out the exhaust pipe. That's drinkable. That's the only exhaust. And they're actually opening up all of their thousands of patents to any other car manufacturer so they can speed up this technology. And Honda and Hyundai and a couple other companies are really working seriously on hydrogen cars. So you might start seeing hydrogen charging stations around. And the other thing in transportation is self-driving car technology. Now, that went from complete science fiction 10 years ago. If you asked someone about self-driving cars 10 years ago, they would think you're nuts. But today, it's an absolute reality. In fact, just earlier this month, Audi drove their A7 all the way from Silicon Valley, California to Las Vegas to the big Consumer Electronics Show just to show what their technology can do. And virtually every auto manufacturer is working on self-driving cars. And of course, Google has been driving their self-driving cars all over California and other places now for years now. And they have yet to have a single accident. So that's a huge trend, especially when you consider 30,000 plus people a year die in the United States just from cars. car accidents. So even if we have a small number of self-driving cars in the beginning, that could really save a lot of lives. That's it for my top trends of 2015. Thank you for listening to this edition of Future Now. Now, if you have a topic that you'd like to hear about, just visit my new website at ventureforesight.com and choose radio topics on the Contact Us page. And always remember, the future belongs to those who create it.
Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. Tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning again, folks. We have a great guest with us this morning. And if I can get my head to go in the right direction, we will have an even better show. Of course, that always seems to be the case around here. Standard operating procedure for the moose to try to put two words together and make a sentence. Our lovely and rather buoyant, I would say, and orchestral guest this morning is Dr. Alexander Jimenez, who is the director of the Tallahassee Youth Orchestras, catch the plural there. So what we're learning and have learned thus far is that he really has no life because he's constantly working and working with young people who have applied themselves to this marvelous enterprise of orchestral music. And it is our pleasure to welcome you, Dr. Jimenez. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's not Michael Jimenez. It's Alexander.
You know, call me anything you want. As long as we're friends, I'm good.
So here we are on this Saturday, rather chilly Saturday in February already. Oh. And your life hasn't let up. You're in concert mass production here, aren't you? You've got many things going. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, I am, and I tell you, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's just great. This particular two-week period, I'm also director of orchestras at FSU, at the College of Music, and so I have two orchestras there. So we've just had one concert last night with our University Philharmonia, which is our undergraduate ensemble, and their second concert is, because it's two concerts, the same program, is tonight at Opperman Music Hall. In the midst of all that, we've been rehearsing for the Tallahassee Youth Orchestra's benefit concert, which is on Sunday. So a concert, I had one Friday night, one Saturday night. Wow. We've got a concert tomorrow. The next week, the University Symphony performs with Joshua Bell and Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. Yeah.
Marvelous.
There's a time of year where I tell my family I'll see you in May, and we'll have a great time.
Who was that guy?
who is that masked man?
That's your dad.
Yeah, that's your dad.
Okay. So do you carry spare batons on you at all times?
I do.
With this kind of a schedule?
I do.
I mean,
I have a case. I have a nice leather case with about four batons in them. That's exactly
right. Just in case
right.
You have to throw one, you know?
Well, every once in a while one goes flying out of my hands. I got to have another one. That's right. So far, I haven't impaled anyone with a baton.
That's fortunate.
That's the good news.
Boys and girls, make sure that you pay attention to that part. So, in fact, was this the plan that you would just take on all of these orchestras and be this engaged, or where did this all start for you?
Well, that's a great question. It is, I think, the plan. But you know, plans being what they are, they always change, right? In unexpected ways. I grew up in a very musical household. My parents were musicians, and when I was born in Chicago in the early '60s, my parents had just emigrated to the U.S. from Cuba, and they both met in a voice studio. They were singers.
How cool.
And when they immigrated to Chicago, they got very involved in the music scene there, including singing in the Chicago symphony chorus.
How very cool.
And some small opera, so forth. So I was in that environment.
And brothers and sisters, too?
No, I'm an only child. Huh. I'm an only child. As my wife.
So you're used to having things.
As my wife would say, it's obvious that he's an only child. And then I started playing the piano when I was five. Huh. And my aunt was a pianist, is a pianist, very fine pianist, as a matter of fact, teaches at Temple University. She was my first piano teacher. And so it sort of went from there, you know. And I think I was about a 12 or 13-year-old kid living in Odessa, Texas. My dad had gotten a job of all places in Odessa, Texas, which if you haven't been there, it's the moon with buildings on it, okay? And but with at the time, this would have been in the first half of the 70s, with a terrific music program in the
I spent a week there one day.
Did you really?
In Odessa, yeah.
Well, to tell me about that
West
someday.
West Texas.
It is West Texas. It's right between El Paso and Dallas.
Right.
Each one of them is 6 hours either direction
of
Odessa.
I mean, folks, if you've never been out that way and you get into places like Marfa and Odessa.
Penwell.
Referred to as the Big Bend down that way.
Right.
And, you know,
it's a different place. But
anyway.
But the music programs in the schools were absolutely spectacular because they had money from oil and so forth and so on. So I got involved in my band as a percussionist.
Hmm.
For some reason, with singing parents, I decided I was going to go to the back of the orchestra for Pete's sake. I'd had enough of the front.
Good thinking,
And then I made, so I went to college, got my degrees in music, had a career as a professional percussionist for a good 20 years.
So it was not academia as such that was attractive. It was the performing arts that was really your
well,
book,
it was initially. It was initially, but my dad was a university professor. He didn't end up in music professionally. Mm-hmm. He ended up being a language professor.
Okay.
And he was an extraordinary teacher. And from time to time, if I had a day off at school, teacher planning, I would go with my dad and watch him teach. Mm. And to this day, I can tell you, I mean, it was very inspirational to me.
Look at that.
And that relationship with his students and that commitment to really good teaching and mentoring. And that stuck with me. And so I think that although I went the professional route, I always knew on some level, that's where I wanted to do all of this in academia. And I was very fortunate to be able to do that. Mm. And so, you know, I've taught at three universities, and I've been here at FSU since 2000. And I just can't tell you how happy I am.
And we're happy to have you. Folks, we're talking with Dr. Alexander Jimenez. Let's see if I have this correctly. You are the director of orchestras at Florida State University.
Yes, sir, I am.
Right?
Yes.
And then in a rather... we don't understand why sort of way you've laden yourself with being the director of all of the youth orchestras for Leon County Schools or how? Private or?
Well, it is a private organization. Mm-hmm. When I came in 2000, the Tallahassee Youth Orchestras was then called the Tallahassee Symphony Youth Orchestras.
Yes.
Was under the umbrella of the TSO.
Okay, yeah.
And there was a vacancy for the music director position, and my dean at FSU at the time, John Pearsall, who hired me.
Yeah.
I hadn't even started classes here yet. I was unpacking boxes. He said, "I need you to do me a favor," you know. And so, junior faculty member, I said, "Sure, whatever you want, right?
Yeah,
you bet." And I found myself suddenly being the music director of the TSYO at the time, and it's a relationship of, with the exception of us. 2 year sabbatical. It's been a great relationship, and it was about 2000. I can't remember now. Things you know how it is. You start losing track of years at a certain age in your life.
Don't talk about that.
You try to lose track of years. It becomes
it's not
something
age.
You do.
It's mileage.
We grew to a point where it was necessary, I think, to separate. From the symphony, there were no problems, but just...
identity.
Well, it's like, you know, it's
direction.
Like being a teenager, and then it's time to leave home.
Autonomy is a good thing.
It's time to leave home. And so I was a part of all of that, and so it's been a great relationship. It's been terrific.
Well, in that capacity, then, are there some marked differences in your approach between, let's say, the collegiate environment versus this youth environment? I mean, age having a role to play in that, right?
Absolutely.
The students themselves.
Absolutely.
How is that different?
Well, there's obviously a teaching element that changes as they become more advanced. Yeah. So I deal with everything in my career from, of course, the youth orchestra, which is my particular group within the youth orchestra is what we'd call advanced high school, you know, kids.
Right. Right.
I have to teach a lot
right.
there.
Right.
How to play as orchestral players.
Yeah. It's, so it's a bit more fundamental.
A little bit more fundamental. I go to the
technique and such.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
I go to the undergraduate orchestra at FSU, which I'm also the music director of, and that's, you know, again, I'm teaching, but on a slightly different level. I go to my university symphony orchestra, which is full of grad students who have played professionally, most of them, and I treat that more like a pro orchestra.
Yeah.
You're teaching less. You're talking more about shape and music.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course,
points, we might say.
Right. Yeah. And then I guest conduct professional orchestras both here and in Europe as well, and that's
wow.
a whole different ball of wax.
Wow.
There you say
wow.
very little, really.
Yeah.
And you show it with your hands because those are all great players,
yeah.
and they get the sign language.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking with Dr. Alexander Jimenez here this morning, he is the director of orchestral studies. Is that the proper
exactly.
title at
exactly.
Florida State University and all of the Tallahassee youth orchestras? You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow, too, by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at VanguardNorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Dr. Alexander Jimenez, our guest this morning, about lots of musical things,
yeah.
it seems to me, and life things. I noticed too, Dr. Jimenez, that when you talked about your beginnings, your childhood, your parents' influence, that relationship with your father was significant to the degree that it inspired for you the things that have then become part of your professional life, this ability to connect with a student particularly and impart some degree of understanding and at the same time some inspiration as well to move them forward in their own path. Huh? So pay attention to that, folks, because around here these days, we talk a lot about the why, as in why we do what we do, and then how that is manifest and what it is that comes as a result. And so here, if I may say so, Dr. Jimenez, I think we have a great example of that in your own career and in your life, where we might have you doing all kinds of different things, and in fact, you do. But even those things that perhaps wouldn't be necessarily, we'll say, musical in nature, and I would suspect that you would do them with the same kind of approach. It would come from that core of why I do what I do. What is it that I'm trying to bring about here? It happens that for you, music is that love and passion, and yet the real core is these students that you've invested in and continue to do so. Even if it's just getting Johnny to get the fingering right on his clarinet. Folks, I started in music as a child, and it was instrumental music, orchestral music. My first instrument was a recorder, which is true for most of us, I think, in third grade. But by fifth grade, I guess I was playing the saxophone. And because my mother really liked saxophone music, apparently. So, and I had an accordion, too.
Very nice.
That was rather amusing to see this little kid with an accordion, you know, five times his size. They couldn't really see me behind the instrument, but I was there. So the saxophone became my best friend through middle into middle school. But that is what inspired my love of music and my understanding, as best I can understand, what is generally referred to as music theory. You know, how is it that music is structured mathematically?
Sure.
And so going forward and then pursuing musical theater and developing my voice, I studied to be an opera singer for 4 years.
I can hear it in your
voice.
At
Seattle University. Oh. And, you know, I was supposed to go and sing for the Seattle Opera Company.
Oh, my gosh.
And I walked away.
Wow.
And I chose to be involved in social studies and social work and pursued a career as a family therapist. And that's what brought me to Florida State 35 years ago.
Whoa.
My voice teacher is still angry with me for having done that. So he's never forgiven me for that. But I will say that at the core of my life, that remains a sort of drive for me. The idea of bringing a performance forward and inspiring other people, as you do regularly, and here on this weekend, oh my goodness, you're in overdrive. Tell us again, you have a concert tonight.
I do.
And that is?
The University Philharmonia. That's the undergraduate orchestra at FSU.
And that at what time does that start?
That starts at 8 p.m.
8 o'clock.
Opera
Musical. Is it too late for people to?
Not at all.
Get tickets
not
at the
all.
Door kind
not
of
at
thing?
All at the door. And the tickets are $9 general admission.
There you go.
I mean, it's really less than going to a movie.
Come on, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, this
yeah.
is great stuff.
Yeah, and these kids in the Philharmonia play with unbelievable passion.
Ah, there you go.
And it's a great program.
Yeah, yeah. So you're just hanging on up there trying
to
make sure
yeah.
that all...
They feed me, those kids. They really do.
And then tomorrow's concert is again where...
So it's Ruby Diamond. That's the benefit concert for the Tallahassee Youth Orchestras, and that's Ruby Diamond at 7:30 p.m.
Okay, so tonight's concert is where?
Opperman.
Opperman. And tomorrow's at Ruby Diamond.
Ruby Diamond.
Wonderful.
Right.
Dr. Alexander Jimenez, our guest. Talking about those things that... as we like to do around here, make Tallahassee a little different, make Tallahassee a little special. And it seems to me you've invested your career in helping us achieve that. When you look out across the number of years that you have been involved in this enterprise and being a member of the community and seeing what Tallahassee has been and what it is and what it's becoming, anything bother you about that or What's your perspective on our future, I suppose, relative to arts and entertainment, we'll say, or as a community at large?
That's an interesting question, Brian, because just last weekend, and I have a habit of reading the paper in the morning with my first cup of coffee as I try to make sense of the fact that I'm actually awake.
Always difficult.
And I was looking at the limelight, and I mentioned to my wife, who was sitting in the next chair doing the same thing, I said, I don't think we appreciate how many things are actually going on in this town for a town this size. You just flip page after page after page of the limelight, and it's like, holy cow. I mean, and not only just local things, which are important because we really need to support the local artist and the local, musicians. We really need to do that. I may talk about that in just a second, but also just the international level things that are coming here. You know, the work that's being done by Chris Hecox at opening nights. You know, the people that the College of Music are bringing in. You know, let me go on. And the Tallahassee Symphony being very successful,
The
independent,
series,
the artist
it?
Series, yeah. Tallahassee Ballet. I mean, you can go on. The theater companies. It's just huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just not the historical
and people
things.
Like yourself. And Dr. Andre Thomas
is
the director of choral studies at Florida State and, of course, the Tallahassee Community Chorus. And he is recognized internationally as well, isn't he?
He is, very much.
So you represent this sort of very broad, very well-known, we'll say, contribution. And you're pointing to, folks, look at what we have coming to us on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's really terrific. And so, you know, when I first moved here in 2000, I had been here before, too, because I did degrees here. But so, the first time I was in Tallahassee was in the mid-80s.
Hmm.
So I've been in and out three different times.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a little bit slow. You know, there was a certain dependence on FSU to sort of provide all the culture. You know, that was kind of the big elephant in the room. We have FSU, gee, we've got everything that we possibly can need. That's changing, and I think that's good for everybody because FSU, I mean, we have a world-class College of Music. I mean, when I say that, I'm not overstating that. It is a first-rate College of Music, one of the most important ones in the country. But we also have a community of people, entrepreneurs, artistic entrepreneurs. You know, you look at what's happening at Gaines Street and the investment that the city made on on Gaines Street, which allows for artist, you know, spaces and so forth and so on, you know. This is all good stuff, and this is all the signs of a city that's vibrant. And, you know, we keep talking because one of the things we do a lot in Tallahassee is talk. You know,
I love my job.
And I think we have the potential to be that kind of place.
Indeed. Folks, this is a conversation we'll have to continue on another occasion because this guy has a lot going on. We're going to let you go. Dr. Jimenez, our guest this morning, Alexander Jimenez, the Director of Orchestral Studies, Florida State University School of Music, and the Director of Tallahassee Youth Orchestras. Our pleasure having you with us this morning.
It's been a real joy to be here. Thank you, Brian.
We'll do it again soon. We'll give you a chance to heal up a little bit first. How about that?
Okay.
Just get some sleep and we'll come back.
That would be
great.
I'll
do the same because I'm telling you, I need more coffee this morning. Folks, that's what we have here. And coming up, the top of the hour, ABC News is up ahead and we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them, TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are back for the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thanks for staying with us, or thanks for joining me, as you have graciously agreed to do at my invitation. We love having you with us because we get to talk with some of the coolest people doing the coolest things in town every week right here. And man, we've been loaded up this morning with some great people and doing some great things. We've got Leon County Humane Society Executive Director Sabrina Rodriguez DeConte joining us. Before the end of this hour, we'll get a chance to talk with her about the great work that they're doing, the Humane Society, celebrating their 55th anniversary, their birthday today. So you can go there this afternoon. I think it starts at 11 o'clock this morning. So right after the show, you may be en route now as you're listening, heading to the birthday party at their headquarters out there at Timber Lane in Meridian. So, you know, it's the kind of show that we get to spend time with these kind of cool people. And in doing so, learn, I think, better what Tallahassee is and is becoming. We're going to have that conversation. We've had a bit of that with Dr. Jimenez already in his view of how Tallahassee has changed so much. In terms of attracting this creative class that is often talked about, the arts and cultural aspects of the community, the things that really keep us engaged, and really come back to this idea of why we do what we do. It's an ongoing theme around here, especially in relation to business or education or technologies. So that what we really find most attractive among ourselves, right, among one another, has less to do with what it is we produce or even how we do it, and more to do with why. What is it that's moving us forward? Carl and I talk often about this issue especially among younger folks, people, let's say, under 40 years old or even under 35 years old, who are less impressed with how much glitter and gloss you can throw on something, or less impressed with your imitation of greatness, and look for the sort of credible, the more sincere expressions of inspiring thought. Some of you are familiar with Simon Sinek and his concept of the golden circle. If you're a TED Talk follower, you're quite familiar with this whole notion. And as such, he articulates the same point in saying people don't buy what you do. They buy what you believe. Well, I would qualify that a little bit by saying people don't follow what we do. They follow what we believe. I agree with that. And I would even say it more specifically in relation to this business of belief as to who you really are. Okay, so we have this way of thinking about one another, that we are what we do. Well, I don't think so. I think we do what we are. I think we have to start with, who am I, and what does that really mean? Now, how many of us are that self-aware? We need to spend some time there, don't we? Figuring out, who am I? Why am I doing what I do? Why do I believe what I believe? And what are those beliefs? Where in that whole mix of my self, my identity, is the uniqueness of what I am? And how do we find that? Well, we find it in relation to the people that we're connected to in some respects. Fundamentally, the people that we are connected to socially and psycho-emotionally, I would say too, help us find who we are, either in a compelling way or in a repelling way. In other words, maybe they draw us closer to that identity, or maybe they push us away from those things that are not us. In whatever way that happens, and probably both, we begin to then say, hey, this is what I am. This is what I believe. This is who I am. And from that, we can begin to see value. We see the uniqueness of our contribution. We see the character, if you want, that which we find worthwhile in us, right? So in that uniqueness of our identity, now we begin to say, and that has a valuable part to play. I have a valuable part to play in the world about me, in those significant relationships that I'm a part of, those organizations that I'm a part of, those families, that family that is mine. Okay, so we've got the identity and now the value. From there, we launch into the purpose. Why am I here? What is it that I am doing? So there's the outcome of this identity value sort of flow. Now I talk about, this is what I do with all of that. And that can vary from time to time, and certainly it has in my life. And I would imagine that for most of us, it does. It changes from time to time, and depending on what we're doing, where we are at the time has a lot of that. I mean, where we are in terms of what we know about ourselves and what we find in ourselves that is that is worthwhile. It's a fluid thing. We hope it is. If you are stuck in what you were doing 20 years ago, probably that's because you're stuck in who you know yourself to be and what you find valuable in yourself 20 years ago. Are you not a growing, breathing, living person who continues to acquire information and ideas about yourself and about others? Wow. Why not? If you're not doing that, it's available to us. There's certainly nothing keeping us back. If you don't have a computer or a smartphone, well, there's a public library. You know, go over and check out a few books and get online there. Begin to explore and do more than just try to come up with answers. Ask questions. Why do I think this? Why do I believe what I believe? To me, it's not only a healthy enterprise for us individually, it really is contributive. And that's what's been happening, I think, in the last 5, 6, 7 years here in Tallahassee, is happening collectively. And so as a corporate enterprise, we'll say, as a collective enterprise, as a community, you might argue that we're doing much of that same sort of thing, asking, who are we, Tallahassee? What is it that we bring of value? And then, what is it that we do with that? Uh-huh. So rather than saying, oh, well, we're an educational center. We're a state capital. We have a championship football team. Okay. And then trying to decide from those outcomes as to who we are, what we are, why we are, let's start on the other end. Let's get in touch with, are we really different than Tampa or Jacksonville or Austin? You know, are we those people who make this town something very special, something very unique? That's what we're celebrating right here, and we do it every Saturday. And I am personally grateful that you're a part of it. Stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are 4 ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have in studio Megan Cutlip. She is a freelance chef who lends her skills rather liberally in a lot of different ways to helping those of us who aspire to such greatness by learning how to do things like cook with wine. So she's got a cooking with wine class that is a great thing and does some of this with Brown's Kitchen Center. Megan, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I should say, too, welcome to Tallahassee, because, folks, this is a great example of a person who arrived in Tallahassee only a few months ago. She and her husband, Todd, got to Tallahassee in October, and already she has embraced us with her marvelous culinary skills and is teaching us how to better prepare the foods that we love, and maybe explore some things we haven't done before, like cooking with wine.
That's right.
So how long have you been a freelance chef?
Actually, just since coming to Tallahassee.
So prior to that, then, you were chefing elsewhere. What
yes,
tell us
right.
about your background.
Well, before we moved here, we lived in Tryon, North Carolina, which is south of Asheville, right on the South Carolina-North Carolina border. And I worked as a chef for a little independently owned wine bar.
How fun. And so that's a nice tie-in with this topic we're talking about here, cooking with wine. What is it that I need to know about cooking with wine mostly?
Well, I wouldn't say that there's any one particular foundation that you really need to know in order to be able to build a great dish on. I think the best thing to do is just not to be intimidated by it. Just pick a wine that you love, and
so any wine that I like is acceptable, huh?
Yes, and I would say depending on what kind of wine you pick, that would sort of dictate what kind of dish you can prepare with it.
Ah, I see. So there are some pairings we should consider.
Yes.
Right. So if I'm preparing fish or poultry, should I lean one way or another, let's say, versus beef or pork?
Well, the rule of thumb is light meat with light wines and dark meats with dark wines.
Good rule of thumb. Yeah. So when I'm preparing my famous chicken bouillon, right, then I typically will reach for a white wine, sometimes a sherry, right? That has right. So as opposed to a port or maybe a dark red.
Right.
What are some of your favorite combinations? What do you like personally?
Well,
if I were coming to your house tonight and you were preparing dinner for me and you were cooking with wine, what might I find?
Well,
I will do this, you know.
Well, come on over.
Okay, fine. Todd might object.
Well, he knows you, so
okay,
I think
So
he'll be on board.
Okay.
Well, my latest favorite is a mushroom and sherry soup. And I think probably just because of the cold weather, it's a great way to have a nice hot meal that has wine in it.
Go for it, yeah.
Right.
So wine and sherry soup. No, what did you say? Mushroom and sherry soup.
Yeah,
yes. Right. Are you advising us to be careful about the label? Should we be selecting wines that are premium, or can we go with the grocery store sherry? I mean, what's the deal there?
Well,
does it really matter?
I don't like to buy any wine off of the aisle that has cooking wines. I always stay away from the cooking wines.
Yeah.
A chef once told me, if you don't drink it, don't cook with it.
Yeah.
Right. So
right.
I like to stick with the drinking wines when I'm making my selection.
Marvelous. Do you want to share your mushroom sherry recipe with us?
Well, actually, that's one of the dishes we'll be making in our class.
Yes. Tell us, when is the class?
The class is Saturday, February 28th.
Okay.
It begins at 10 a.m.
Okay. So that's a week from today,
right.
Saturday the 28th at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And this is going to be at Brown's Kitchen Center.
At Brown's Kitchen Center, yes.
Well, folks, come on now. You really want some great cold weather soup here, mushroom and sherry. What's not to love? Come on. Now, is this a soup that is rather light, or is it have kind of a cream base to it?
It is cream based.
Yeah.
But I find it to be rather adaptable.
Mm.
So if you prefer it to be more stock based,
I see,
or more cream based, you can change it up. That's the great thing
now
about
it. Now, here's
cooking.
A curious question: What's the starting point with that? Do you create the roux first, or do you saute your mushrooms first?
I like to brown my mushrooms first.
Yeah. See, I knew I liked you. Folks, come on, you know. Culinary art is no less a performance than any other art form. If you don't believe that, then go back to your fast food if you care to. But if you really want to get down to it, would you agree with that notion that the culinary arts have a degree of, I don't know, flair and precision?
Yes.
And have you seen the movie Chef, by the way?
I did see that. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, great film.
It was very entertaining and had some scenes in it that I just laughed so hard because it's so true.
True to life.
It's so true. Yes.
Yeah, they nailed it on some of those things.
Yes, they did.
I did a bit of chefing in my day, much earlier in my career. Let's talk about 34, 35, 36 years ago. And I worked in a 4-star restaurant, and so, yeah, that's heavy duty stuff. You don't take that lightly, right?
Right. In fact, I had been working as a line cook and server in various places, and when I was going to college at Flagler College in St. Augustine, I was actually a fine arts major, and I got a job across the street there at the Casa Monica Hotel. And I was just looking for probably a part-time serving position, but I went over there with my resume, and she said, we have a cook who's leaving. Would you be interested in working in the kitchen? Because I see you have all this great experience in the kitchen. And I said, yes, I would love that. So
how cool.
I went in there, and when I met the culinary director, his sort of, well, some jobs that you go to, you have to audition. They want you to cook something on the spot for them. So they can see your technique and see if you make a huge mess or, you know.
That would be me.
So I didn't have to cook anything that day, but he said, roll up your sleeves. And I said, okay. And I pulled my sleeves up, and he turned my hands over and looked at my hands. I guess he wanted to see if I had burns and scars all over me, which I didn't. So he said, oh, you must be, you know, mildly capable at least.
People don't appreciate that. But when you have in your hand a 9-inch Henkel chef's knife that is sharp enough to cut you just looking at you, that's a challenge, isn't it?
Well, yeah, especially when you get into the fast pace. Of, you know, the
which is really what people don't appreciate in the professional world of cooking. It's not just the quality; it is the pace. It is the speed, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
turning it out. Well, here we have Megan Cutlip, who, for her part, is working very well and very hard to bring us a great contribution, Cooking with Wine, a class that she's offering a week from today at Brown's Kitchen Center. Again, it starts at 10 o'clock. And we should go and all be a part of that. Megan Cutlip, our guest this morning, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention one last thing. The registration fee for this class is only $25.
Oh, that's great.
And when you come to the class, afterwards, you are entitled to 10% off all your purchases, as well as 10% off any classes you sign up for that day as well.
Sounds great. Thanks again for being with
us. Thank you for having me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Folks, I'll tell you what, we are blessed to have the executive director of Leon County Humane Society with us this morning, Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
It's a pleasure. And we have with us as well the very lovely Veda, who is getting herself acquainted with our studio. Tell me this breed again.
Veda is a Shiba Inu. She is my personal pet. I've had her since she was a baby. She's 10 years old now.
She hardly looks a day over nine.
Yes, she has the spirit of a puppy.
She does. Yes. And how well-dressed she is for this time of year with her rather well-fitted fluffiness. And what a great little dog. And I have to tell you, folks, I mean, as dogs go, she's already greeted me a couple of times and then has made herself comfortable and is sitting quietly, just kind of taking it all in.
Yeah.
Probably just bored with this.
Well, I think she's happy to be part of the excitement. She loves the attention.
Well, so there you go. Yeah. Like most of us rock stars, you know, we just yearn for that spotlight. So tell us more. You are here to tell us about not only the mission and vision of Leon County Humane Society, but it seems to me we have a great thing to celebrate, the 55th anniversary of Leon County Humane Society, right?
That's right. This year we're very excited to be celebrating the 55th anniversary of LCHS. So we are throwing a birthday bash celebration that will be taking place Saturday, February 21st from 11 to 2.
Mm.
It'll be at our main office, which is 413 Timberlane Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's right off Meridian and Timberlane.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have birthday cake, balloons. We will have a therapy llama there that you can come and meet. His name is Sweet Spots.
Okay, so that's going on today,
yes,
as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Right. So in what time?
11 to 2.
Okay, so folks, right after today's show, you need to be, in fact, you could be en route now.
Mm-hmm.
heading over to celebrate the 55th anniversary of Leon County Humane Society. This birthday bash, whose idea was that?
Well, the staff and I really wanted to put something special together to commemorate kind of the reputation and the impact that LCHS has had in the community.
Yes.
The organization has been around for so long and has affected so many of the families and people and animals here in the community. Mm. It's just really something we're celebrating. So we're also tying in a couple new announcements into the event. We're very excited.
Should I ask for a drum roll at this point?
Drum roll,
okay,
please.
Here we go. Drum roll.
So we now have extended hours. So our new hours are Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Lovely.
So that's new for us. We also have a redesigned, kind of renovated lobby that's a little more welcoming. So we want everyone to come in, check it out. We have beautiful artwork up on the walls by Patty Maney.
How fun.
Anything that sells, a portion will be donated back to us. So we're very excited for that.
We're going to learn a little bit about your mission and the vision of this organization. Where are you located?
We are located off Timberlane and Meridian.
Okay. Timberlane and Meridian.
Yes, just north of I-10.
Uh-huh. And in those facilities, you do the business of?
Well, we are committed to reducing pet overpopulation here in the community.
Ah.
So it's a big problem.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of different approaches to tackling this problem. The main way that LCHS is involved with that is rehabilitating and adopting animals.
I see.
We will take in animals into our program, get them the medical attention that they need, help them with behavioral problems, and really get them ready to be adopted. We'll then help find them the right family to bring them
so
in.
So indeed, there is an overpopulation in Leon County?
Yes, absolutely.
Ah. And describe that for me. How do we know that, I guess?
So the city shelter takes in thousands of animals every year, either from owner surrender or whether they are a community cat situation, stray animal situation. A good indication of where the community is at comes from those reports from the city shelter, you know, year over year, how many animals were taken in, how many had to be euthanized.
I see.
So there are a lot of different organizations here in the community that are having a positive impact. And the exciting thing is that we all kind of work on this problem in our own individual ways that ultimately helps the big problem at hand.
Okay.
So, for example, the city shelter can help the public by taking in animals that they no longer can take care of. They provide that service to the community.
Uh-huh.
Be the Solution is an organization here that does spay-neuter vouchers. So we all really work together to have a bigger impact.
So the animal shelter as such is sort of on the front end of that, and you folks are back here saying, hey, guys, we got a problem.
Right.
And here are some things we can do to help solve that problem.
Right. And we are a limited intake facility. So what happens is, whereas the shelter has facilities on site to house the animals,
right,
the Humane Society does not. So all of our animals live in foster family homes. So that's what makes us a limited intake. We just don't have the resources and the space to take in animals.
Right.
So we all kind of serve a different purpose in that way.
So earlier in the week, we had some sort of disturbing news about this man who had horses that were not being provided for properly, and they were confiscated. And are you in touch with that whole situation, or?
We are not involved in that, but that would have come from the animal control, which would then go through the shelter. I believe they have a livestock kind of separate.
And curiously enough, this guy teaches equine something at FAMU?
Yeah, I think sometimes people, and this is something that we at the Humane Society are really, we really harp on and try to be a community resource for the public. Is responsible pet ownership. You know, there's a lot involved when you take on the life of an animal. And sometimes I think people, you know, either they're trying to help too many animals and they don't realize the amount of resources. You know, they start with good intentions and then they find themselves to be in over their heads.
Well,
so
in reading through that story, that occurred to me that this is a guy who had all of these horses and they were underfed. I mean, they are I think, you know, the average was something like 400 or 500 pounds underweight for each one of these animals. You know, the horse is supposed to be weighing somewhere around 1,200 pounds, and they're weighing in at like 600 or 800 pounds. So that says, okay, he didn't have the money to pay for the feed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to assume that much, right?
Right.
So he just got in too deep and couldn't get his way out?
Yeah, and I think at some point you just find yourself, you know, you don't know where to go. You don't know who to turn to.
Yep.
So I know we aren't involved so much with like horses and livestock, but we do, you know, we offer a service to the community. We have a pet food pantry. So if somebody finds themselves in a hardship situation where they can't afford to feed their animal, they can always come in, and as long as we have the resources available, we will happily give that out
to the
public.
It's an interesting question. Most of your focus is on household pets, we say dogs and cats.
Yes.
But how about birds and snakes and any other mice? I mean, what? I don't know how far we go with that.
So we do focus on
a very funny mouse story. Go ahead.
We do focus primarily on companion animals. So the majority of that is dogs and cats. There have been rabbits in our program, and there have been, I've heard, not since I've been there, potbelly pigs, which I actually personally have a potbelly pig of my own at home. So they are very much companion animals. But again, that it really comes down to who our foster families are at the time and what availability there is. So if we have a foster home that can accommodate a potbelly pig, we could keep the animal in our program. But if they don't get adopted out, I know in the past we had found kind of a sanctuary for that potbelly pig to go live on a farm.
Well, fortunately for the potbelly pig, yes. And we're happy to hear that, in fact, the Leon County Humane Society is actively at work for all of us, and in that capacity, taking care of dogs and cats and even potbelly pigs. Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte, our guest this morning, the executive director. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow too by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at vanguardnorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte. What a name.
Oh, thank you. What a marvelous
name that is. I mean, and if you were being introduced, like at a very large gathering, right, and there'd be somebody at the door that could actually pronounce that name, and then you'd like walk in with this marvelous gown, right, with your entourage.
Yes.
What a marvelous
thing. That's how
thought,
I see it as
Sabrina
well.
Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte, you know, the Countess of. Anyway, sorry. So my mouse story is this. Mm-hmm. My son had a snake, and the snake needed to be fed. Well, snakes are rather fond of mices, and so, yes, the mice would come to the house unsuspectingly, and it turned out that we had an abundance of mice, and in fact, the snake had completed his life's journey, and so he passed away. We lost the snake. That was very sad. However, we still had the mice. So my daughter, thinking of this, these are baby mice, realized that she couldn't simply abandon the mice and called the pet store to say, is there something that I can feed them to keep them going? And of course, the pet store clerk was trying to be helpful and saying, well, they need milk. And so she asked, well, then can you provide me with mouse milk? And the clerk said, you want me to milk a mouse? That has remained part of our epic collection of stories around our household, the mouse milk, and the clerk who was being asked to milk the mouse. So here we have a work that is much more, I think, significant than Mouse Milk, and a much broader effort, and that being the work of Leon County Humane Society under the expert direction of Executive Director Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte, celebrating their 55th birthday today, going on there at their location over there at Timber Lane and Meridian. So if I show up today, I'm going to see cake and balloons, and do I get a party hat?
If you come, I will find you a party hat, yes.
That is important for me. I have to have my, thing.
Yes.
And what else? What are you doing, I guess, not just in terms of today's events, but educationally for the community? How do I tap into the view and the vision of what this organization is about?
I would say the best way to really stay connected with us and to follow what we're doing is to connect with us on social media or on our website. You can go ahead and sign up for our e-letter, which comes out once a week. That'll really tell you what we have going on, if we have new programs, if we have new events coming up. There's tons of cute animal photos. Who doesn't love seeing, a Facebook feed full of cute, fluffy dogs and cats? There's that benefit. We really are dedicated to helping the community and really serving as a community resource, whether it's, like I said before, giving out food to people that can't afford to pay their or to feed their animals, we also have a new reading program for elementary school students. They can come and read to our cats. So it helps the cats, it helps the kids. So we really are...
They read to the cats?
Yeah, they read out loud. They practice their reading out loud to
the
cats.
And the cats like this?
Oh, they love it. And it helps them learn how to be around new kids, new sounds, new
Well, judging
smells.
From Veda's participation in our show this morning, I mean, she seems to be... entirely entertained with this conversation. Yeah. So why not? Yeah, reading to cats. I like that. Are we pet friendly in this community, do you think?
I think this community is pet friendly. I personally bring Veda with me everywhere. I think I can get away with it just, because of my title and I'm with the Humane Society. But the community, I think most places you go, they'll offer you a bowl of water if you have your dog with you. And I see a lot of pet owners. There's a lot of interest here in the community, a ton of support. The Humane Society is supported almost entirely by individual donors, and most of them do come from the Tallahassee community. That right there speaks very highly of the community and the level of commitment here to animals and to pet ownership.
One of our frequent guests is the man who runs the Mahan Animal Clinic, Dr. Scott Pliskin. Okay. And as a veterinarian, he has advised our listeners on occasion as to some of the cautions regarding weather, severe temperatures, heat, cold. So the question then comes about being cautious when you, and you said this earlier, when you commit to owning a pet, take account of what that really means. And are you really prepared? And of course, the biggest abuse we hear about is Christmas time, some 2-year-old being given a puppy.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks cute to us. But as one friend of mine said, everything looks cute when it's little, and then it has its consequences.
Yeah. And another interesting thing we find here in the community is the college age population. A lot of them will adopt or get a pet, and then they turn around and they surrender it because their plans change. They want to travel. They get a new job.
Or get
So we find a lot of that here as well.
Well, that is a thought. It hadn't occurred to me that. And so do you find those pets sometimes abandoned then? They haven't actually been surrendered.
I have heard stories where people will just leave them in their apartment while, they've already moved out and they left the animal in the apartment. Otherwise, they will be taken to the shelter. The good thing with the Humane Society adoption process is we'll tell our adopters that no matter what happens, if you ever find yourself in a position where you can't take care of this animal,
let us know.
Contact us and we'll take the animal back
to
our
program. Do you make effort to contact apartment managers and apartment owners to say, hey, if students are moving out, we're here?
We haven't, but it's kind of been on my radar that I do want to reach out to, especially pet-friendly communities.
Have some kind of a program.
And have some kind of partnership with them.
That way the student knows right up front, look, if you come to that point and you have to leave your dog, don't just close the door.
Right.
Let us know.
Well, and we really do want to encourage college students to become foster parents, because that way they can have a pet, they can care for it, we'll pay for all the food, the care. And then, you know, eventually the pet will be adopted, so they don't have the long-term commitment of owning that animal.
Yeah, very good. Folks, this is a very cool thing. It's what we love to talk about here, the cool people and the cool things that they are doing. We have Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte, the executive director, Leon County Humane Society, talking with us, celebrating their 55th birthday today. Happy birthday,
thank
Leon
you.
and of course, you're not 55, but it doesn't matter, really, does it? Because in fact, the vision that you are helping carry forward here is timeless, it seems to me.
It really is.
The good work that you do, huh?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I really love the vibe here. The people are really friendly. There's actually a lot going on here it has like the small town feel, but there's a lot actually going on here. So
indeed. What do you like least about Tallahassee?
Least about Tallahassee.
What do you find most annoying or frustrating or limiting?
Probably the semester, like how everything revolves around the semester schedule and the football season.
Indeed.
Not used to that.
Indeed. Well, we're not either. We think life goes on, and that's why we have this here little radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte, our guest, the executive director of Leon County Humane Society, celebrating 55 years of service here to the county and all of us who love pets. And we are so appreciative, and congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Folks, that's what we have for you today. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for making it fun for us to bring to you all that Tallahassee is talking about. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is a production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer, Carl Cerny, associate producer, Kayla Furland, and our director of guest relations, Mindy Clark. I'll be with you right here again next Saturday morning at 93.3 at 9 o'clock. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk with me.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.